The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
This is Corolla Digital. NAPA Auto Parts wants to know, what makes today's new cars so smart? Is it the questionably useful Wi-Fi connectivity? Could it be the giant, confusing touchscreens you should probably stop playing with while driving? Or perhaps voice-activated everything that never seems to listen very well? The answer, of course, is none of the above. Click the banner to see the smartest car available today.
Hey, man, before we get rolling, let me roll down the highway with True Car. Love these guys. New, used, it's True Car. You can choose from over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles. That's almost half a million. Oh, wait, that is half a million. Boy, we're on the right subject today, aren't we? True Car. They have certified dealers. They're nationwide. So wherever you are, wherever you hear this, there's a True Car certified dealer near you. So whether you're looking new or used, you get upfront pricing. You get discounts. Whatever list was, forget it, man. Ball it up. Throw it out the window. You're getting a deal. It's True Car. See what others pay for your car in real time, exactly in the location you're in, and then go online, go to True Car, lock in your price, go to the certified dealer, and go pick up your car. That's it. That's the buying experience with True Car. Their users save an average of $3,279 off MSRP, so that's sweet. Buy new, buy used. It's True Car. TrueCar.com or... how about you just download the app, True Car app? That's True Car. All right, before we get to the original and legendary cast of Top Gear, I'll tell you guys, you want to hear the live shows we just did out in Boston and in Connecticut, just go check out Podcast One, go to the premium, couple bucks a month, and listen to some fun live shows and get all the archives as well. So without any further ado, let's go Top Gear, baby.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Top Gear, Jeremy Clarkson, James May, and Richard Hammond. And now, Top Gear is also his nickname for his genitals. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get it on. Mandate, get it on. Welcome to the program, a special program. My heroes are here. Jeremy Clarkson, James May, Richard Hammond. Top Gear was the show. Now it's the Grand Tour, available November 18th on Amazon. Thanks for joining me, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
I'm a big fan. I discovered Top Gear probably a decade ago, and I discovered it like a lot of people do. I was just sort of switching through the channels, and I went, what's this? It's the same thing I had with Goodwood Festival of Speed about 15 years ago. I just stumbled into it on TV, and I went, what's going on here? I've not seen anything like this. And I was hooked ever since.
Well, that's nice to know we have a fan in America.
Good. That's really good to know.
It's nice that you stumbled upon it 10 years ago and thought it was good, because it was... terrible.
I also like the idea of discovering us.
I discovered you. Yes, and you guys, well, let's talk about the growth and how the show evolved.
I've got rid of it.
Yeah, it's cleared up.
Is it benign?
It was, yeah.
The growth is benign. I mean, I think what everyone likes is, and the chemistry, I think, is what everyone responds to.
That's
and,
a very polite way of putting it.
Hatred. It's the hatred we have for one another. Yeah, we are fueled creatively by our hatred of one another.
Deep-seated loathing and bitterness.
That's why no one's ever been able to imitate us successfully, because no other group of three people can loathe each other with quite the passion and intensity that we can.
You've got to come to my place for Thanksgiving.
Is that pretty bloody?
Me, my
bloody?
Mom, and my dad. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of loathing going on, but less chemistry and less humor.
It is. Well, chemistry, everybody imagines that chemistry is a good thing, but TNT is chemistry.
It is.
Yeah. You know, there's all sorts of...
Well, let's hydrogen peroxide.
We'll call it a je ne sais quoi. It's for some reason... people are attracted to the relationship that you guys have and the roles that
maybe
you play.
Maybe it's just gratitude that they don't have
and
one
I,
like
I
that.
Think when you try to recreate it in the lab, meaning we're going to cast this guy and cast that guy and shove them together, it's doomed for failure because it can't really be created in the lab. It just sort of has to happen.
The weird thing was, because of the way we were at the BBC, the way it works at the BBC is decisions get taken very slowly, so you have time to evolve. They don't really notice that you're terrible for years and years and years. So we were allowed to mature away quietly with nobody watching. And if anybody had seen us on day one, they'd have said, what the hell's this? It's terrible. By the time anybody was looking, which was when Richard had his terrible accident, and that's when everybody said, well, have a look at this program where people are nearly killing themselves. And then by that stage, we'd already got a chemistry, as everyone describes it. And it went from strength to strength after that.
Richard,
so you should have another accident now, because that does boost ratings.
Yeah, it is time.
Richard was in a rocket car and or jet car. I think it was a rocket car.
Yeah.
And it was up over 300 miles an hour, I think, when the tire blew.
Yeah, it did. And here we go.
I could have held it.
There you go.
I could easily have held it. And what's the onboard
footage? Yeah, he took the cowardly way out by rolling it several dozen times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See, I watched Hammond play a video game yesterday, and the signs were there already, to be honest.
Well,
weaving about.
It's funny. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. I'm in that position, too, on occasion. And so was Jay Leno, you know, who just had the Hemi under glass roll a few times. There's this weird sort of protection that you think that the cameras offer. Or somehow that, hey, this we're doing this, it's
We've learned that one several times around over the years, that just because you're on TV doesn't mean things can't go wrong.
Oh, well, no, I tell them they do. Protected. When we drove to the North Pole and the ice was creaking.
Yeah. Mm, that was.
I mean, actually, you could hear the ice creaking as we drove this.
You had a pickup full of gin.
Exactly, 2.5-ton pickup truck with 2.5 tons of gin and tonic in it and a tent. And you could hear the ice creak, and I was thinking, yes, but we're on television, so it's actually going to go through.
But actually, it could.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a terrifying moment when I said to him, Clarkson that is, I said, it's okay, they have put an emergency hammer in, so that if it starts going, you break the windows, you know, one of the ones with the very pointy diamond tip.
Sure.
And it was on the ceiling, but it was only at that point as I reached up, I realized they'd cable tied it to the ceiling, and there was no way in a million years you could get it off.
Every time I look at the Sky Mall and they show you those little hammers for breaking the windshield in case the car goes Chappaquiddick in its American reference
into the
bog. And then there's also a thing that you can cut your seatbelt off.
Yes.
I always realize if I ever purchase that, I will definitely go ass over tea kettle into a body of water, and my last thought will be, that thing's in the fucking trunk.
Yes,
that'll
be
the last thought I have. It will be in the car. The paramedics will find it when they drudge
it. I've got one, and mine's in a drawer in the kitchen.
There was a marvellous moment.
Then you'll be killed in your kitchen by your wife.
There was a marvellous moment way back when. I have a passionate loathing for all forms of health and safety. Mm-hmm. Everybody should sign a document at the age of 16 saying, I'm entirely responsible for my own actions, and then just get on with it. But anyway, when I was driving these three-wheeled Reliant Robins once, and health and safety made me have one of those little hammers in the car, because in case it rolled over, I would be able to break the window. But they didn't secure it in any way, and when the car did roll over, it shot past my face at 300 miles an hour with a pointy bit. I thought, I could have been killed by the only safety device they put in the car.
Well, so when we did the pilot for the American Top Gear, which I was a part of, which is a very long story, but Jeremy at some point pulled up in a Callaway Corvette on a landing strip somewhere.
Yeah, that was out near here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was somewhere in Orange County or somewhere. Wasn't
yeah, it was at an old Air Force base.
It was.
And Jeremy came in and was very complimentary and was very, very nice to meet the man. But I remember some of the things.
I remember I had an unbelievable hangover that day.
No way.
Yeah, no, I did.
I can remember that day.
I was absolutely broken that morning.
One of the things we had was some sort of challenge where you run the garbage gauntlet and they set up old washing machines and
steering.
Garbage cans and don't touch the steering wheel and see how far. And they said, you know, well, you go first, Adam. And I said, okay, so what's the deal? Well, you hit the line at 40 miles an hour. Don't hands off the steering wheel and see how far your car will make it before you run into whatever the debris is on the right or the left. I said, okay. And I walked to the very end, and at the very end was like a bowling ball sitting on top of a washing machine. machine, and I said, why don't we take this projectile that's going to go through the windshield and take my head off?
Yeah.
We'll move this toward the front and move the mannequin and the stuffed raft floats at the end so when I hit those, they don't go through the windshield and kill me. And they were like, oh, okay, yeah, if you want to do that, I guess we could move it to the front. But I'm like, somebody probably should be thinking about this.
Well, they got one of the disasters we have. We've got a track for the new show, The Grand Tour, that you were talking about earlier. And all was well until the first day I went down there. It's woods on either side, woods which are full of deer.
Mm.
Now, and so the very first time I was hammering along the straight at 100 and something
miles driving?
An hour, Ferrari. Or it was a Ferrari, actually, 458. 488, I mean, yeah, 488.
Oh, 480. And, no.
488. And I was belting down the straight, and out came the deer. Now, we read all the time about deer that when you hit them, they bounce up and then come through the windscreen.
Right.
And I thought, well, there's the deer. We know where it is now. There's hundreds of them.
Yeah.
We are going to be killed by Andir before very long on that track. I can feel it coming.
It is
so the old version of Top Gear was out at an airfield.
Airfield, yeah. An old, actually, it was a U.S. Air Force base. Well, RAF, then U.S. Air Force base.
And Canada, yes.
And always, for me, the most satisfying part of the show is the argument over which car is better, the Porsche 958 or the 911,
three. Not the 911.
Okay. And then the Stig obviously goes out and settles on the track. That and the star in the reasonably priced car.
Yeah.
Are we having?
No.
No stars.
Your two favorite things aren't in the Grand Tour.
That is a real problem.
Right, well, let's just wrap it up.
Those two on the wall. My favorite is Star and a Reason Price Car. I haven't got that. My second favorite is the Stick. I haven't got that.
Well, I love it. Well, I'll pay you a compliment.
And I really like the cool wall. Yeah, gone.
I like the guy who was on Friends.
Yeah.
Joey. That guy. That guy I love. Is he going to be?
No, he's on episodes now. Great show.
It is. No, what does it is when Jeremy. First off, it's how beaked up the celebrities are to beat their rivals.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they're so competitive, and then I love how you tease it and tease it.
Yeah, it was good fun. What I used to like was you'd watch them, and they'd lean back on the chair as though they didn't really care, and they'd get a face going, and a lot of them were actors and good at faces. And they would limit, like, they didn't go, you're saying you did it in 1 minute, whatever. And every single one of them, without fail, would, as you got toward the end of the number, lean forwards. They would always like, I'm not bothered, but how fast was it?
It's crazy how, but I always say with actors, you don't think Tom Cruise is competitive?
Yeah.
I mean, he's 5 foot eight and a half and has to be the leading action star in the world.
Small people, I think there's something wrong with them.
Here we are.
There's something fundamentally wrong with them.
They have a lot of issues, I think, is the polite way of putting it. A lot of internal darkness.
What was, I was talking to James on the walk over here from the other warehouse. Jeremy, you have to go over there at some point and look at some Paul Newman race cars just so you can say you did it. So I think there's some stuff there you'll enjoy. But I was saying to James, how far along are you? What's in the can? And he said there's still some in-studio stuff to shoot, but a lot of the external stuff has been shot. Were you guys about halfway done at this point?
No, I think it's fair to say, half the show is film, half of it is studio. Yeah, that's broadly speaking, a little bit more film, but broadly speaking, that's how it is. We've done all of the films now, except one, which these two will be doing on Thursday at Ben Waters.
At Ben Waters,
which is inconveniently located. They're neither of them looking forward to that. But we've done all of the films, and then now we start the studio stuff, which all comes from a tent, and the tent goes wherever in the world we want to put it.
And so what was, in terms of time taken, just going to one place on the old show now, that's actually a massive part of the show, because for every week, the whole tent has to be dismantled and taken somewhere else and put out.
So it's literally
just drive to car circus. Studio.
Yeah. So the show starts on the BBC in what year? Because I didn't. A lot of us in the United States picked up on it 10 years ago.
77, actually. It started in 1977, just as a regional show in the UK. I think I joined it in 1989, and then left in 1992 because I decided I was brilliant, actually. I made a complete hash of everything I attempted to do and ended up going back to it in 2002.
And that's when him and Wilman who is the sort of fourth musketeer here. Yeah. They reinvented it. And then, oddly enough, I got the job and then he got the job.
Yeah. So it's been how many years since the three of you have been together?
11.
Yeah, you were late. But that was 2003. So
he drove too slowly down to the first show and didn't arrive for a year. to get a fat man to fill in.
They didn't want me at first. They chose some fat bloke who kept breaking things.
I preferred him. I much preferred
him. I liked him a lot. He was great.
So how do we feel about the BBC? I'm a guy just who grew up in sort of crappy part of town over here, and I'm used to friends punching each other. I didn't get what the big deal was with the BBC, but are we on good terms with them?
Yeah.
Are we happy to be on? And with Amazon, do we think they overreacted?
I'm not banned from the BBC. I just don't do Top Gear. I can go and do any BBC show I like. Get on very well with them.
Do you think they're being pussies about the whole thing?
To be honest, that was then. Now, we could have moved on. That was 18 months ago. I did lots of things 18 months ago that I don't think about either.
Yeah, and I don't want to rip the Band-Aid off anything or bring up a sore subject, but I'm just saying, from the cheap seats, I was like, so what? A couple of guys had a scrap in a parking lot or something. Let's get on with our lives. I didn't see the reason to pull the plug on everything. I didn't know. But I don't know if that's something you can talk about and can't talk about. No.
All right. No, that was then. We all get on very well with the BBC still.
We do. There's still a relationship there.
Yeah.
And so when did Amazon come calling? I mean, was there any ever thoughts of just, we had a good run, now it's time to go our separate ways? Or was it always a thought of, all right, this has to end up somewhere else?
Well, we didn't know what we were going to do. We had a period of about 2 months of thinking, I'll go and be a heart surgeon. Turned out I couldn't do that. I'll go and work in a shop. I didn't want to do that. And then various people started calling, broadcasters, narrowcasters, streamers, everybody started calling. And then these two, we all got together and said, we can keep it going. And can we reinvent the show? And actually, that's been the best thing. Had we stayed doing the old show, we would have simply allowed it to carry on, gliding slowly down until it crashed into a hillside.
Eventually, people would have said, come on, lads, you've done enough now.
Yeah, exactly. But because we've now been forced to reinvent it, it's tremendous. It's like we have been doing cottage pie, we're now doing shepherd's pie. It's like sort of still comfort food, but slightly different.
I'm from North Hollywood. Yeah. I don't know what that means. No, I know what you're saying.
It was a burrito.
Talk about spotted dip while you're at it.
Now it's what is another burrito?
It was a chicken burrito. Now it's a steak burrito.
There you go.
What is a burrito?
I've no idea.
It's a wrappy chicken, Mexican thing.
Chicken or steak.
We don't know what grits are either.
When you're eating dinner and you're thinking this isn't phallic enough. Somebody invented a burrito so that you could.
It's like a hot dog.
It's like a giant hot dog with a tortilla around it, although you may say tortilla. But let me ask this, and what are the changes? Can we talk about some of the format?
Well, no, because we never do, actually. We keep things a surprise. I think that's the best word. So there are new elements to the show, but whenever we set off and say, right, here's the film, it's still us three. I'm still bombastic, he's still short, and James is lost and slow. That's basically what happens every single week. The cars change, the scenery changes, the challenges or whatever it is we're trying to do, they change. But at its core are still us three, catching fire, falling in water, and falling over.
We can't change where we are, but around us, we have ramped up bits of it and tweaked things and changed things.
Well, so let's then talk about the process. So I used to do a show called The Man Show, and me and Jimmy Kimmel would sit around, and we'd have 25 episodes to fill, and we'd be looking at big blank cork boards, and we'd have pins.
Flashing curses, that's the worst one.
Yeah.
Your cursor just sits corner. Going, look at you, wanker. You can't think of anything, can you?
Yeah, and you think, all right, so now what do we do here? We take a trip here, we do a test there. Like, how do we do this? So you guys with the writers, creators, producers.
What writers?
What writers? Okay.
What wardrobe?
What
health and safety?
Folks, this is sit around and go, wouldn't it be a good time to go, wouldn't it be fun? We should go to the Nürburgring. Yeah. And so you write it down on a card and you poke it up there.
We shouldn't go to the Nürburgring.
Right, because you're going to kill yourself. But
because you'll be surrounded by terrible boars.
How do you begin that process?
The boar capital of the
process,
world.
The process, it's ongoing constantly. I mean, Jeremy will come belting into the office with some stupid, usually lethal idea. But equally, they can come from other people in the team and sometimes do. And then it goes through the whole machine. People chip in, talk about stuff, develop it.
We've had ideas rooted in something.
There's got to be something that, we have. Okay.
You said earlier that the accident with the rocket dragster. That's what sort of got the traction for the show, or got more viewers, or that's when it caught on. I remember hearing about it. How, what was it, 10, 12 years ago now?
Yeah, it was 10 years ago.
Ten years ago. Yeah. That's when it kind of broke out.
Yeah,
because
we used to get about 3 or 4 million viewers a week in the UK. It was mainly a UK show then. And then that got huge coverage. I mean, nobody had seen the show really, but somebody on television had hurt themselves. And morbid as people, I mean, inevitably are, when he came back, actually quite quickly, didn't know his name or what was forwards, so I had to put his shoes on. But we dragged him back anyway, because we didn't care. And he came back, and like 8 million people were saying, oh, it's quite a good show, and a lot of them stayed. And then, of course, the global thing happened, and we went all around the world.
And I think the show was ready at around about that time. This is what Jeremy was saying earlier, that we'd had time out of the limelight to evolve it, to work out what it should be.
BBC's really good at that.
Yeah, they are. They're unique.
Right. So here what we do is you get half a season, you get 4 episodes in, somebody starts making wholesale changes, and then they pull the plug. Mm. And I always say, look, it's going to take a couple seasons for people to hit their stride, get their comfort level up, people to gel, so on and so forth, but they don't give you time.
It's really, really hard to do that. We'd never met, and you put the three of us together with that kind of attitude, we wouldn't have been able to do it. No. We just wouldn't have been able. It was only because we could quietly go. I always used to refer to Top Gear as a pokey little motoring show on BBC Two, which isn't even the main BBC channel. And it was. And even when it became huge and then was the world's most watched TV show, we still called it a pokey little motoring show on BBC Two, because even then we wouldn't let it go on BBC One, which is the big one. And so that has been great. So we are very fortunate that we can arrive already wrapped, as it were, to Amazon. And we don't have to worry about, oh, well, you know, what will James say now? What will happen? I know when I drive up to him and we're out in the field and I say something to him, I know before I get there what he's going to say back, because we've worked together for so long. I know what May's going to say, and they know what I'm going to say.
It's incredibly depressing when you think of it.
Well, a lot of it can't be
so
on the
Richard,
television.
Yeah. For those in my audience who aren't familiar with this accident, can you kind of walk us through it a little bit?
My crash, rocket propelled car, front tire blew. I lost it and went upside down.
At 300?
320 miles an hour.
320.
Yes.
And the thing just went skidding off the tarmac and into the dirt or into the grass and tumbling over and over again. And you had a traumatic head injury?
It was a head injury, yeah. There were a couple of issues in there.
Were there other injuries?
No, hardly anything. I don't remember. I was in college.
Were you wearing arm restraints?
Yeah, I was.
Good.
I never realized how good a thing they are.
I know.
I'm
a little
fast
and loose with my arm restraints.
Yeah, you need those on. You make James wear them anyway.
Just around the office.
It's arm and legs.
That's actually different.
It's more a straight jacket.
But we call it restraints.
Yeah, what people don't realize is if you're driving a race car, they'll put a net up in the window, like a NASCAR. Yeah. So stuff doesn't go flying out of the car. If the car goes rolling over, you don't roll over your own arm. But in an open cockpit type of dragster, an F1 car, something like that, an Indy car, you'd wear restraints so that if things start rolling, your appendages don't go flying around.
Appendages.
And
well, that was the one thing that
would
never have flown out of the car. This was the most disturbing thing when James and I went up to Leeds in the north of England.
Were you there? Were you guys there when
I got the call that night, and so we went up to see him in the hospital, and his penis is very small.
But still hooked on.
It was still hooked on, but God, everyone else was looking at his eyes going in different directions. I was thinking, that is bloody small.
Must have snipped it off in the crash.
Yeah.
It's easy done.
You saw his penis?
Yeah, well, he couldn't help. He was naked as the day he was born.
Yeah. So how long? Naked when I went.
How long in the
yeah, I removed his pajama bottoms for a laugh. I got some photographs.
Have you?
Well, throw them up on the internet.
I don't want to see them.
I'll get out my jeweler's loop and examine them.
Joking. It's massive.
No, I got that from. I got that. What? How long in the hospital?
Are we in a coma? Remember. I was for a few days, and then I don't know. I can't remember. I was a few weeks there, then a few weeks.
He honestly couldn't. He came back to work and genuinely couldn't remember anything. I mean, there's a big thing with Hammond anyway. When something's explained to him, what he hears, as the old Larson cartoons, blah, 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 Hammond, blah, blah. So he didn't know what he's saying. He doesn't listen.
I mean, you never knew much in the first place, to be honest.
No.
What do you guys like that's out there now? I mean, I love hearing the opinions on the cars, LaFerrari, the new stuff, Aston Martin. I mean, everyone's coming out with amazing stuff.
It's all amazing because it's almost as though everyone, the sort of boutique car makers, if we can call them that, Aston, Bentley, Porsche, Ferrari, Lamborghini, the other big five, they've realized that there are an enormous number of extremely rich people in the world, really rich people in the world, who are prepared to pay virtually anything for a car. And so what they're making now is spectacular. Absolutely. It's because they've suddenly realized, oh, we don't have to make this for $100,000 or $200,000. We can actually sell a car for $10 million, and some Russian will buy it.
Yeah, and also the guys buying it is figured out, as I was talking, I think, to one of my car guys. He bought
really good friend.
Yeah.
Evidently,
no, he was doing my car show, but I'll think of his name in a second. But he bought a LaFerrari for, you know, 1.5, 1.8 or whatever from the factory, sold it for $4 million. Then he got punished by Ferrari for selling the LaFerrari.
Like,
but you know, people go, well, who would spend $2 million on a car? Well, who would spend $2 million on anything they can make $5 million on in a week?
I mean, in England, the biggest problem which we have is that you buy a car like something like that, or a classic car, and classic cars now in the UK are worth an unbelievable, because there's no capital gains tax. I don't know what the equivalent is here, but it's about the only way.
Yeah, we have capital gains, and it's
about the only way you can make huge money. You can actually buy a car for $1 million, sell it for $4 million, and pay no tax on that £3 million.
So that's the scam.
That's what's, because with the interest rates in the UK being, what are they, 0.0001%, stock market's not, you know, Brexit's causing chaos. So everything's flatlining. The only way you can actually make money now without actually going to work is to buy a Lamborghini Miura and then sell it 3 weeks later with $1 million. You don't pay any tax. It's brilliant.
It has become a huge investment.
I have two for sale, by the way, if you're looking. Yeah. I think you're too big.
No, I can get in them, but just I'm always slightly terrified in a Miura that at about 85 miles an hour, it behaves like an aeroplane
wing.
I was
just about to say, what is the speed at which they take off and flip?
Yeah, 85. I remember.
But are they the best? I find that a Lamborghini Miura SV is the best looking bone stock car, not breathed on or shaved the bumpers, or if you just left the factory of the older cars, of the vintage cars that you would just never touch, the Lamborghini SV Miura, to me, is the top of my most beautiful shapes that you would never need to modify.
I'd have the AC Cobra in that list as well. I think the AC Cobra, that was, or the GT
289, or
no, the big one, the 7 liter. Uh-huh.
But it's a lovely form, but it doesn't have the delicacy of it.
Got the GTO as well.
I'd have the
275 GTS. Yeah, 275 GTS is my favorite looking car of all time,
and the 300 Super America. That was extremely good looking.
Yes, I agree as well. But I still feel like the mirror is a little sportier.
Can I just lob in the Di Tommaso Pantera as another unbelievably good looking car in its stock form?
I agree, but every jack off in the United States gets hold of those things and puts a high rise, you know, manifold and triple chrome on it and does something with the wheels. Like, there is no car that is more breathed on by jack offs than Pantera.
It has a basic engine in it. That's the thing. I mean, it just has the big old Detroit iron under there.
It's a back to front muscle car, isn't it, really?
Pantera. But I agree. It's got a good, and in a way, like a Miura, it's got a wedge shape.
Oh, yeah, see them in the UK.
May I lob in the Jensen Interceptor?
Oh.
Now, that's a good-looking car, I think.
Yeah. I like your, for sticking with your stuff, the Aston Martin V8. Is it just the V8?
The Oscar India one. Yeah. I like that.
Bond. I mean, Bond in Timothy Dalton days.
Yes. When just to be clear, they're terrible.
Yeah. I'm sure.
They're fantastic.
And I think more modern day, the GTS Aston Martin is one of the most beautiful cars, shapes.
GTS? Yeah,
the
thick.
The nine. Oh, sorry. Wait, the DB9. DBS nine. Whatever. One past the nine. And I was watching the episode where you guys said, "Why do you need this? We have the nine already." And I had the nine already, so I was happy to hear you say, "What do we need it for?"
But I've just driven the 11 across Italy, and it was an advocacy one where these two have to argue with me the entire time.
The 11. Which one's the 11?
The new DB11.
Ooh.
And
is that
honestly,
out yet?
Yes. Well, nearly. I mean, I've driven it.
For
it was pre-production. But I was staggered, because Astons have always looked great. I mean, this is what James was alluding to a moment ago with the V8. It looked great. They're not very good, actually, as a general rule.
Yes.
That 11, we went to the Mugello track with it. Oh, wow. First corner, I thought, wait a minute. It was really good. That's a really, really... It's the big surprise of the year for me. Is
the DB11.
Yeah, because it's fantastic. I think it's beautiful to look at. And it's properly well sorted.
We're looking at a picture of it now. Well, it's an Aston Martin. The Aston Martin's always going to be great to look at.
They don't agree with me.
I've
really
never been a massive
Aston Martin.
You should
be thrown out of your home country for that kind of thought.
That car at DB11 is that picture you just got of it is with those different coloured roof stripes. Is look at it; it's just astonishing, and it does deliver.
I had a DB6 Vantage.
Lost
a fortune.
You're the only man in the world who lost money on the DB6.
I agree that. Some of the fours, fives, and maybe four, fives, and sixes. For my take, the fenders were a little bulbous, and the wheels were a little skinny back in the
exactly.
day, and they were little underpowered.
That's
and
why
so
you're
on
right
so
with
far.
The weirdly. I think you're right with this Miura. They got the wheels right in it.
Yeah, it's the only it wheel look, you would never touch. But in a way, the Pantera is one of those wheels you shouldn't touch
exactly.
either, and everybody does.
Exactly.
Hold on a second, fellas. Let me break in with a little Alberto beef jerky. Alberto beef jerky. Love this stuff, man. Healthy, natural, good source of protein. Our own Vinny Tortorich, man. He stands by this stuff. He's excited about this stuff. Three delicious flavors, original, teriyaki, peppered. It's all there. Protein packed. It's a snack, but it's got tons of protein in it. Don't be noshing away on those chips or those cheese doodles. Now, let's get some protein over here. Alberto beef jerky, obliterate your hunger. Listen to that little voice in your stomach, but fill that little voice in your stomach with something nutritional that's got some protein. That satiates. That's the thing. You eat all those carbs, you just get fat and you're still hungry. Let's not do that. Alberto, beef jerky. You get out of life what you put in, and what you put in is Alberto, beef jerky. All right, we have a question, I think, for you guys on line one. Craig, 40, New York. Craig,
get it on.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
My God, I'm on the show. This is fantastic.
Greetings.
Hello, Craig.
Hi there.
Hiya.
Jeremy, James, Richard.
Hello.
Yep,
such a huge fan.
Thank you.
I was just had a question that I was watching back Series 18. What supercar you'd want to get if you didn't want a 458? I remember Jeremy had the Lamborghini Aventador, and Richard had the McLaren MP4 12C, and Richard had that.
Noble.
A dreadful Noble M600.
It's built in a light industrial unit in Leicestershire.
How can you say dreadful?
Right.
Just because the gearbox exploded.
Clutch when?
Oh, here we go.
The conclusion was, though, that the 458, is that still the greatest mid-engine supercar?
No, it has a huge, huge, genuinely enormous problem.
Yeah, it does.
James May owns one.
It's ruined.
It's ruined as far as I'm concerned.
Forever.
Although he's got the Speciale, which of course is, and it's orange, which is just vomitous. But so that has rather spoiled it in my book.
I know what you're saying, because every once in a while there'll be a car I really like, and then I'll see a picture in a tabloid with Paris Hilton driving it, holding her dog, and then it'll ruin it.
I'm not Paris Hilton, to be absolutely
But I know what you're saying. It can ruin. But is the 458 right now, and then what was the new one, the 480?
Journalist hat on, I would say the 488 is better. I think anyone who bought a 458, even the special one, is a moron.
The
488 is they are absolutely fabulous. But you've got to remember.
Oh, there's Paris Hilton in an LFA.
Oh, no.
LFA, what a terrible car.
No, favorite car. That's not hers.
It'll ruin it. And that's what I'm saying.
No, take that off the screen. Please don't do that to me.
That can't be unseen. I'm afraid.
I like Paris Hilton.
I don't mind seeing them in Bentleys and Rolls Royces, and I don't even care if they wrap them with some sort of flat gray whatever bullshit or pink. Mm-mm. I don't care, but when I see him in a rocket ship, when I see him
like
with a guy that's where they spent two million man hours on the composite body parts, and there was some science.
This is just torture. This is the best car I ever drove. It was certainly the best engine I've ever encountered in any form of vehicle. And you just
that's what makes me angry. The LFA, and she's driving with one hand because she's holding a dog. We're looking at pictures of Paris Hilton.
Do you know the most impressive thing
is Lexus LFA? They're not making those anymore.
No, I've only made a few of them. The most impressive thing I heard the other day on why we buy cars, it's like I wouldn't have a Ferrari because James has got one, and I know he wouldn't buy a car if I owned one. even if it was the best car, is I was, I've never been particularly interested in the Bentley Continental, although I think it's a tremendous car. It's a, I genuinely don't.
It's a lot of car.
It's a lot of car, and it's not as expensive as you would imagine. Anyhow, an American friend of mine came over the other day, and I had a Continental, and she said, oh, it's an MFB. And I asked her, what do you mean MFB? Motherfucking Bentley. And I thought, what a great name. I want one just to say I'm driving an MFB, which is a very, very...
Yeah,
it's amazing how your approach to a car can,
suddenly we your opinion of the Bentley has changed.
Yeah. So is the LFA for you, Jeremy, the best car you've driven?
Yeah, simply because of its engine. I mean, it had no cup holders. I'm talking the seatbelt was almost impossible to put on. The fuel gauge was far too the fuel tank was far too small. A million things were wrong with it. But the engine and the noise its engine made was just spine tingling.
Following it, it makes a heck of a noise.
Yeah, it's naturally aspirated. I think it was a V10. I can't remember what a V.
Yeah, whatever.
It's V10. But a V configuration that spooled up to 10,000 RPM.
Yeah, and it revs so fast they had to give it a digital rev counter because an analog one couldn't keep up the engine rev.
We're looking at Paris.
I never liked that anyway.
We're looking at her.
That's
and
a McLaren.
McLaren.
Yeah.
The McLaren. Here's what I always say about the McLaren. I always say I'm sure it's the best car money can buy. It feels a little soulless to me. There's so much I could never criticize it for technically.
The current
McLaren, but it feels a little soulless.
Yeah, I'm guessing hasn't driven a P1.
No.
One of the things that you don't say when you get out of a P1 is that's a little bit soulless and that is a terrifyingly good.
Yeah, what you do say is I need a shower now.
So Richard, what do you got? What do you like?
What would I like? I've got like a mid-engine still because I'm going to try and get away claiming GT3 RS's mid-engine, and it kind of is now. It's creeping forward.
Right. Anybody? So if the engine, even if it's in the front, is behind the front axle, it's considered mid-engine.
That's front mid-engine.
Front mid-engine. Right. All right, should we answer another James, what do you like, just to round it out?
I like the Ferrari 458, because I've got one.
Oh, okay. And what... and so, Jeremy, did you say you drove the Ferrari 480 or 488?
488. The new one.
And that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Honestly, Ferraris are a very, very difficult company to deal with, a nightmare. But the problem is it's worth going through the hoops they make you jump through. Because the cars feel very, very special. There's something when you drive a Ferrari, that thing, look at it.
And the 488 Spyder.
They feel different to other cars. James, in one of the films we've done on the Grand Tour, describes driving a Rolls-Royce. He said it is a driver's car because no other car feels quite like a Rolls-Royce. That's true. And I'd say the same of a Ferrari. It feels... the McLaren you were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. half of its problem is that you sort of half close your eyes. It could be a Golf. It could be... It's mm-hmm. just a car. The Ferrari never, ever, even at 30 miles an hour on a residential street, it never feels just like a car. It feels exciting. It feels like you are being tickled by a couple of naked Vietnamese girls. It doesn't feel like that. I don't know where my head was going.
Where did that
then.
Even come from?
All right, we got one more question for you guys. Will, 32, Indiana?
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on, man. Well.
Get it on. That doesn't work when we say it in English, does it?
Give it a
get
try.
Get it on.
Get it on, or don't take it off.
Anyway, greetings.
Hello.
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 Just wanted to know, get your quick expertise. I'm looking into getting a cheap, kind of weekend vintage car to spin around town in. What's good for like $5,000?
Do you mean vintage or classic? Because we're quite strict.
You're not going to get a vintage car.
I think 20s or 30s stuff.
Five,
like 70s, 80s.
Honestly, you know, I don't know if you remember in the olden days, I drove it was a MG midget type thing. It wasn't actually a midget. I can't remember which one it was. Healy. It was the Healy.
It was Healy Sprite.
It was the Sprite.
Bug-eyed?
No, it wasn't. It was the one that looks like an MGB, early B. And I drove it around Mallorca, and it was actually in pretty good condition.
Was.
And it was extremely cheap. You know, roof comes off, and, I mean, you go to Mazda Miata, for $5,000.
Yeah. Kind of dime a dozen-y, but I've been a Datsun guy. I've always liked the 2000 Roadster, the one that had the 2-liter motor in it. I don't know if you can find them anymore for $5,000. You can find a rough one for $5,000 and work on it, which is fine. But that was a fun little 5-speed 2-liter, pulled pretty hard. Actually, even quicker than the 240Z.
But does a Datsun ever have any personality?
Oh, 240Z.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
240Z is fantastic.
And the 260.
Well, we're talking about for
but
five
not
grand.
The 300.
I don't really know what stuff costs here, but what, I mean, 70s American cars, which may seem very ordinary to you, but to us they're quite appealing because they were in films. I mean, how much did you have to pay for a Pontiac Firebird? Could you get one of those for five grand?
Not the one Burt Reynolds drove, but you could probably find a pretty beat up one from the earlier 80s or something.
Put some stickers
on. But Will, do you want European or Japanese or American? What's your preference?
I'd like just probably American because...
Oh, well, no, that's a whole different ball game.
Are you guys still paying bigger money over here than... Because they've always been sold to us, and then the prices have changed, and now for a while people were coming back and buying them back from the UK and shipping them back out here.
The American Muscle?
Yeah.
Well, the American Muscle stuff here had a peak for a while with a lot of Mopar, Hemi Cuda, stuff like that. There's, you know, convertible Hemi Cudas going across for $2 million, and then it kind of flattened out. There's a weird part which I could never understand, and we'll go a little deep in the car world here, but you know, Shelby's 65 66 350 GT350s were cool, but there was a time when the 67 68s, the weird plastic vent ones that were made in Michigan and not made in Venice, California, had leapfrogged them. So we're kind of weird. We'll pick weird cars, we'll elevate them, and then things sort of settle in.
But that happens. I mean, that's I find that weird as well. Sometimes it's obvious GTOs are very expensive and so on. But I was looking the other day for cars that haven't gone as high as you might imagine. And the SL post Bobby Ewing is remarkably cheap still. Lanciers are still cheap. Yeah, but Lanciers are they're always, you buy Fulvias and Integrales.
Lanciers are cheap because only half a car is left by the time you come to buy.
Fulvias is still
Lanciers.
And we can say Lancia.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah, the problem we have, Will, I guess, is you've found an area of our knowledge is what you can actually buy here for under $5,000. I mean, in the UK, we can tell you what you can buy for under £5,000. I don't know what you can get here.
I would buy a good bottle of scotch and watch the Grand Tour because I think you get a lot more
the entire bottle.
Enjoyment out of it. So just before we leave, it's November 18th on Amazon. It's the band is back together. Well, really was never apart, right?
Well, it was about a week.
We can't
about
do anything
week.
Else.
There was a period of unemployment.
Yeah. Is there, I'm not trying to be douchey here. It's a term we use in America, but I did a show called The Man Show with Jimmy Kimmel. We did four seasons. We did 100 episodes, and then they decided to carry on without us when we left, and it didn't work out that well. And I'll speak for Jimmy and say there was a certain amount of satisfaction he had and I had from the creating of the show and the building of the show and the making and construction of the show. The fact that they couldn't just carry on without us. Is there a certain satisfaction in that it's not really working without you guys on almost any level wherever they try it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, honestly, we have a tactful answer prepared for this. Yeah. We've been focusing on the Grand Tour for the last 12 months. We haven't really paid much attention to what...
Genuinely, we've been
flat. There's another huge, huge TV show in the UK called Bake Off, and that's going through some problems as well. Yeah. And we have no observations on that either. We have been a year solidly on the road making our show, and that's all we really care about.
All right, so yes. Yes,
how pro was that?
You guys are good.
Not at all bad.
They have something called media training, and I think maybe you guys
I ought to have been on it.
Yeah, a few times over the years.
All right, the Grand Tour. So all we do is go to Amazon and get it November 18th, and there'll be, 12 episodes and then a big one, or 11 and a big one finale?
11 and a special, and yeah, it's 12 episodes. And then
a year,
so we're doing three. So it's 36 episodes in total. God knows what we're going to look like after 3 years.
Oh, it's terrifying to think. It's in 4K as well, so you'll see every hideous detail.
Well, I think it might be a bit like dust in your house. Yeah, it does get to a certain level, and then it never gets any worse. So I think we're almost there.
We can't get
this terrible. Well, no, it's after another year.
Yeah,
that's as terrible as we'll ever look.
Well, until next time, thank you guys for coming in. Jeremy, you want to run over to the other shop and look at a Miura?
We'll have a look at the schedule, and then if there's time, let's run over and have a look at that SV.
I hate to see you go back to the UK without that. Hey, thanks for coming, you guys, man. I'm a huge, huge fan.
Don't let him touch it, by the way.
So, until next time, it's Adam for Richard and Jeremy and James saying mahalo.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Stay tuned for the latest AP News headlines from Podcast One, right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
AP Update. I'm Carlotta Bradley. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are clashing in their second presidential debate. They've sparred about Trump's comments on women in a 2005 video and other topics. Clinton says she's concerned about Russia's intentions in Syria.
Russia hasn't paid any attention to ISIS. They're interested in keeping Assad in power. So I, when I was Secretary of State, advocated, and I advocate today, a no-fly zone and safe zones. We need some leverage with the Russians.
Trump said ISIS should be the priority.
I believe we have to get ISIS. We have to worry about ISIS before we can get too much more involved. She had a chance to do something with Syria. They had a chance.
On taxes, Clinton says those making less than $250,000 won't pay more, but those making more could. Trump says he'll get rid of the carried interest loophole that lets Wall Street traders pay lower tax on earnings. AP Update.
This is Corolla Digital.